You're listening to the Heal Better Fast podcast, dedicated to bridging the gap between alternative healthcare and mainstream medicine in utilizing everything good to help you feel great. We're glad you tuned in. Now here's your host, Dr. Michael Pound.
My guest today is Kat Chrysostom, the founder and owner of Benefab by Soar No More. Her mission is to take great ideas and create products that make a difference in the lives and health of both horses and people. Now, Kat loves horse riding, but in 2011, she suffered a riding injury that left her temporarily paralyzed with a triple fracture of the C2 vertebrae. She was told that she would never ride again, and after 3 long months in a halo traction device, she found herself left with 4 excruciating, painful, and slow-healing holes in her skull. Now, doctors recommended far infrared light therapy, and over time, the pain and swelling decreased, and her migraines diminished. She became fascinated by the therapeutic impact of far infrared light therapy and discovered how infused fabrics can have a similar effect. Through rigorous research, she discovered how electromagnetism can be a natural healing remedy and how it helps joint and muscle stiffness, edema, and circulatory disorders, both in humans and in animal bodies. Please welcome Kat. Welcome to the show, Kat. I'm happy to have you on today.
Thanks so much, Dr. Mike. I'm really excited to be here.
So you and I met in New York, and you've got a lot of things going on, and I'm super excited. Before we get into that, I want to talk about your story and how you got into developing this product that you have.
Sure. So I actually grew up on a farm in a family full of doctors, I was sort of destined for the medical field. I was really passionate about the medical field. My uncle was a pharmacist. My dad was a dentist, and just a family full of medical professionals. And I really had a passion for neonatology out of all things. Was studying undergrad on the pre-med track in 2011. And, you know, when you're 20 years old, you think you have everything figured out, which clearly is not always the case. But I was actually on spring break and had traveled down to Florida, and my spring break was spent riding horses. I have always loved horses and been riding since the age of 4. And was actually riding a horse back to the barn. We were going over a, almost like a bridge over this very large drop for drainage, but it didn't have anything except for anchor rope on the sides, and the horse stumbled. And unlike most stumbles, he didn't catch himself, and we actually both tumbled over each other into about a 15-foot drop into this place for drainage or this area for drainage, and it resulted in an array of injuries for both of us, but most significantly, we both fractured our necks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And the horse weeks later ended out having to be euthanized and lost his life. And I was left in the hospital really fighting for mine.
So tell us a little bit about the process, how long the recovery took, and what that looked like. I mean, what was the prognosis you were given at the time?
Sure. Yeah. So I had, like I said, an array of injuries. Most significantly was a triple fracture in my C2 vertebrae, as you well know. It's also known as a hangman's fracture. I was temporarily paralyzed, but told that I may, never walk again. They really couldn't tell me exactly what the future might look like. In addition to that, I had something called pneumothorax, just basically for, I guess, the listeners who don't know, it's when you hit something so hard, your air actually goes outside of your lungs. So I had a chest tube and was put onto a ventilator and broken and bruised ribs and bones. It was really a split second when that horse stumbled that changed the trajectory of my life forever. But the prognosis wasn't good. I was told I was in the trauma center actually at Shands, which is a teaching hospital out of Gainesville, Florida, which was out of state for me, though I live here now. I didn't know anyone, and you know, it was just all new things. And I actually remember very vividly, I had an older neurosurgeon on my right and then the resident doctor on my left. And they were both sort of arguing over my bed in the trauma center as to whether or not do surgery. But at the time I was paralyzed and my spinal cord was very inflamed, and the doctor on my right, the older gentleman, was saying, you know, look, we know she's probably going to be paralyzed. We should do the surgery, but the surgery would have solidified paralysis. The lady on my left was arguing for a less invasive way, and thank God I had enough strength to motion to her. I sort of cut my eyes over at her like, yeah, don't do the surgery. And they ended up putting me into a halo traction device. I say it looks like a medieval torture device. It's a carbon fiber sheepskin lined vest that stays on as long as you're in the halo traction, which was for me was 3 months. It has four metal rods, two in the front and two in the back, that attach up to a halo, which sits around your skull. And it basically has mine had 8 pounds of pressure on each screw. So it's 32 pounds of pressure total. And that's put into place to essentially hold your head off of your spine. So it's like a cast for your neck, you could say. And I remained in that for about 3 months. What a lot of people don't realize is that, and including myself, our skull is made up of a lot of different bones. So with 32 pounds of pressure for 3 months, it actually contracts. So when the halo was taken off and I was transferred into a hard neck collar, your skull is actually expanding. So the migraines were debilitating. I wasn't regaining my mobility like I had expected. And that's really when I feel like my fight began and when my recovery process really began, because from the day of the accident to the day the halo was taken off, I was pretty much bedridden. I was on a morphine drip for a lot of that time. I was heavily sedated and I just wasn't, I wasn't fully conscious of what was happening to me and my body until I realized, like, wow, I'm out of this contraption. I'm starting to wean off of some of these medications and I'm not regaining my mobility. My life has totally changed. So I was in the hospital actually for a few weeks, and then I was transferred. Thank goodness, I have very supportive parents, and they ended up taking me back to their home, and I recovered after that. So for about 2 months, I was in South Carolina is where they live. And it was interesting because, when you have trauma like that, and obviously nobody's ever prepared to have an accident like that. But I was on an academic scholarship at the time and lost my scholarship. I had a dog. I lost my dog. Like, just so many things that I identified with were gone, after that 3 month period. So it was sort of like, okay, what next? Like, what do I do? And certainly, how do I regain my mobility and at least the physical aspect of it? Not to mention, of course, the mental and psychological effects that trauma like that has.
Yeah, losing, I just imagine your entire life is kind of put on hold, and not even put on hold, but just kind of dropped. And in my experience with loss, we know that this tends to make room for something new. But when you're going through it, there's just not that perspective. And so that's when people are given, given the option of either giving up or fighting. And it sounds like you really fought through that loss.
Yeah, it was, I always kind of equate it to Winston Churchill. He said, when you're going through hell, just keep going. And that's so true. It's, like what you said, you feel like your, life has dropped, and it does take, a fight, but it's also just keep going forward, like keep, moving and find a way to reinvent yourself. And that's exactly what I did. And it was, literally through my accident, just keeping on moving forward, knocking on opportunities and, taking opportunity. And for me, it was really interesting because growing up, my uncle, like I said, was a pharmacist. And so I really grew up with the mentality of Western medicine drilled, you know, into me. And I was very comfortable with that. If somebody had a symptom, we had a drug to, you know, treat it. And that's all fine until you're that patient. And I was on, I mean, before I was turning around, it was like I was taking so many drugs. I was being woken up every couple of hours to have more pain meds. And, you know, those things affect you in many ways, and there's side effects to everything. You know, and so it really gave me a unique perspective on Western versus Eastern medicine, which I had never really had any sort of introduction or desire to learn about. So I do believe that everything, you know, happens, and that we have the ability to turn it into something positive and, you know, to really take advantage of the situation and learn new things.
I want to dig a little bit deeper into that. What was, at the time, what was your perspective as far, or your definition of Eastern medicine versus Western medicine? And maybe why was that bias there, do you think?
You know, I think, honestly, before my accident, my take on Eastern medicine was, to be completely candid, sort of hocus pocus. I didn't really believe in it. I just thought that the way that I was raised and, you know, seeing symptoms be reduced when you're given a pill is obviously very convincing. Now, after the accident and through my personal experience, I was on 13 different medications at one point. I was very heavily taking pain medications and really couldn't stay on top of the pain. And I wasn't regaining mobility in my right side. And I also had some nerve issues and was just really struggling. And I had exhausted, I was doing physical therapy, I was doing all sorts of, just exhausted a lot of different avenues. And I went in, actually on a Sunday afternoon, I woke up and I had laid down and I couldn't move. My mobility issues had been persisting in my right side. But this Sunday afternoon, my mobility issues were going to the left side of my body. And that was, it was really a day that it really resonates with me in my memory, because it was the day that I realized, wow, this could be forever. You know, this could not get better. This could get worse than what it was. And I actually went to the emergency room. I was wheeled in a wheelchair because clearly I couldn't walk. And I had on a neck collar and the Band-Aids over the screw holes where the halo had been taken off on my forehead. And unlike, you know, if you've ever been into a waiting room on any day, it's always packed and overflowing. And it was the same here, but they wheeled me right back. And the MRI machine was closed, but they actually put me in an ambulance, took me to a neighboring hospital where they had one open. And a neurologist who came in after reading the MRI, I had never met him, of course. And he was saying, you know, look, I don't know if you've ever been told this, but paralysis can set in post-trauma. And my spinal cord was very inflamed and it had bruising, but they couldn't tell if there was any evident damage, and whether or not the mobility issues were going to go away. And that was, it was news to me and it was extraordinarily scary. And I just started basically pleading with him, like, you know, please, is there anything else I can do? I've done all these different things, and naming off all the different things that I had tried. And in a really offhand way, he actually recommended far infrared light therapy, which I had never heard of. And I went home and the first thing I did, and he just walked out. He was very busy. You could tell he was making his rounds and I wanted to know more. And so when I got home, I started looking into it and researching it. And I found, you know, it's commonly referred to as red light therapy. And there was a chiropractic firm, actually in the area that had a red light solarium. And I went in that week, and the first time since before my accident, I was able to walk out with full mobility, after sitting in front of, under that red light. And it was just incredible. And that's really what made me start believing in a more holistic approach and realizing what that red light was doing. It was reducing the inflammation, which was the cause of the problem. So now my take on it, I think Western medicine is a wonderful thing, but it's there to treat the symptoms. And I feel like the Eastern approach treats the cause, and that's what really sets it apart, in my own mind.
How did that really transform the trajectory of your physical healing as well as your career?
Sure. So the mobility obviously was really enhanced with the red light. But what I found is when I would stay in front of the red light for some time, it would help the mobility. But after a few hours, the mobility would start to decrease again. And as I was putting together and being from a medical background and having studied, been undergrad and on track, on the pre-med track, I was able to, look at it from more of a scientific perspective and realize what that light was doing for me. So I ended up purchasing my own light and was using it multiple times a day and was really able to stay on top of the inflammation. And it was incredible what it was. I had an infection in one of the screw holes that was in my hair in the back part of my head. And it was incredible what it was doing for that as well and helping heal. So I sat in front of that. I ended up purchasing the one of my own and did that consistently. And I also found, in my healing process, it's incredible how trauma affects, the body and the psyche. For me, it also had created dietary restrictions, which I had never had before, as well as thyroid issues. And all of that was, I've been able to heal most of that primarily through, although I am on a very low dose, something for the thyroid, but primarily through, dietary, just dietitian and nutrition, being able to look at the problems and be able to treat, my body holistically and eat the right things. And it's been amazing what that has done as well. So that was a huge part of my healing journey. And from a career perspective, it was daunting to say the least to try and go back to school. All of this, we talk about it here in, a matter of half an hour, an hour, but it was really an 18-month recovery process once you look from start to finish. And so it was a long time, that it was taking, and it was very daunting to go back to school to reapply for the scholarship. I felt like I was, so far behind my classmates and felt like I had lost a year and a half and how could I start over? And I also was talking to a lot of people about my recovery, and I was really passionate about the red light therapy. I had actually had several people who were buying lights for themselves. And so I dove into research, and my thing was if I could bring the light with me everywhere I went, which it was too big to do that, it would really change my life. And it, cause it was restricting travel and, all sorts of things. And so I dove into research and basically ended up working with a team of engineers and designers out of Taiwan, to develop the fabrics that now I use to manufacture all of the products in my line, which is it's basically a wearable version of red light therapy. So it totally changed my career. But it's also, what steered, like I said, the trajectory of my life.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, because I'm sure some of the listeners are trying to figure out how to translate a light where you plug in to something that you wear or the fabric. So sure. Tell us a little bit about how that translates and the technology behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do is we actually permanently embed 30 lead-free minerals. It's a proprietary blend of minerals that are permanently embedded inside of all of our materials. So when I say permanently, they are machine washable. That's normally the number one question. But these minerals, the combination actually emit far infrared wavelengths. So it's very similar to red light therapy. It's a low range ray of light on the electromagnetic spectrum. It is an invisible ray. And what's unique about it is people say, well, how can something you wear that doesn't plug in, you know, be able to do that? And it's because our own body heat is actually the conductor of the fabric. So that is what's making the fabric emit the far infrared wavelengths. So as long as you're wearing it, the product is working. And it has been studied. We actually have independent case studies and third-party studies. We've worked with universities, but it has been proven to penetrate down to the deep tissue level and actually excite oxygen atoms within the water molecules. So it does dilate capillaries, it helps increase blood circulation, and also reduce inflammation, and of course help with oxygen flow. So our customer promise with all of the products is increased mobility and less pain in 3 weeks guaranteed.
So many of my listeners don't know this, but I actually have one of these blankets and a pillowcase set. And it's funny because, and you and I haven't talked about this, but I when I received it, I was thinking, okay, so how do I, you know, what am I going to do with this? I want to make sure to get the full effect. I want to make sure and give it, you know, the most bang for the mm-hmm. the time I'm going to spend on it. So I wrap myself up in this blanket. So it's all surrounding me. I put the pillowcase on. And it's fairly cold where I sleep. I mean, usually I typically layer on blankets and so mm-hmm. I've got your products, I'm laying on it, and then I start putting on the extra layers so that I can stay warm at night as I normally do. Well, about 10 to 15 minutes in, I was roasting. I was like sweating. I was like, what is going on? You know, this is crazy. So I like put, you know, take some blankets off and then I put your blanket underneath me. So it's more like a sheet rather than a blanket. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, because it's no joke. You can feel the body. It's like wrapping yourself in tin foil when you get in this. So I can vouch for that.
Yeah. And I hope at least if you were struggling with any pain, you did feel a difference.
Well, here's the thing. I've just found out that you had the stockings on online, and I had suffered a leg injury. So that's what I was using it for. I probably overdid it with the, you know, wrapping myself completely in it, but I think I'm going to go for the sock.
That's too funny. Yeah. Yeah. So the blanket, and a lot of people, because of that, we have a lot of people who are really hot natured, and I'm not, I'm cold natured. So I just sleep on top of the blanket, like you were saying. But for people who are hot natured, what they can do is put the blanket, and this is what most people do, put it underneath their fitted sheet, and you put your fitted sheet on top of it. And that will just, it cuts down on the heat, you know, significantly, but it also helps give you the benefit. So there is a solution to that, Dr. Mike.
Yeah. I had to figure that out on my own, but it was really a testament to the fact that there's something different about this, mm-hmm. this material.
Yeah. 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 It is amazing how, you know, how significant it is, because when I was, so I really was skeptical from my background. And obviously I'd sat in front of the light, but it's really hard what you were saying, you know, with the listeners, like hearing this, it's really hard to mentally sort of get it over that idea of, okay, so I have something, you know, I have light in front of me, I'm looking at it, I'm feeling the heat, I'm, you know, benefiting from it. And then you have a piece of fabric. It's really hard to, you know, put two and two together. And actually, when I was working with the team of engineers in Taiwan, we were going over everything, and I said, you know, let me take a big piece of fabric, and we literally cut it with some scissors. And I said, I'm going to, you know, sleep with it tonight, because that was one of the things that I had a really hard time with post-accident, was sleeping through the night and, you know, keeping myself comfortable. And I'll go into the muscular issues anyhow, but in a second. But I, so one of the things was, you know, finding the right pillow and being comfortable throughout the night, which sounds like I can talk to you about your pillow, but So I actually slept on this piece of cloth that had all the minerals permanently embedded. And that was the first time I had slept through the night since my accident. And I just knew if it worked for me, it would work for anyone. And so that was my personal, that was my first, you know, really personal testament to the fabric. And I was just amazed. And I started lending my piece of fabric to friends and family, and they were lending it to their friends and family. And we started getting a lot of requests for products. And so it was really an organic growth. But it's been amazing to see how many people and animals, we do have an animal line as well, that we have helped heal. So we have a full line. We have a small line of people products and then a full line for horses, which is interesting. But people who are not horse lovers or know much about horses, we have a very wide variety of customers who have horses, but especially performance horses, race horses, you know, horses that are jumpers and different things that tend to get you know, sore, especially back sore, neck sore, as well as their legs. So we have products that help basically the full body of the horse. We're launching into the dog market, which is really exciting. That's been a huge request. So we will have products that are going to help every furry family member starting in January. And then for people, we have a full line. Like you had mentioned, socks, which are right now back ordered. Those moved really quickly this year. But we have blankets and bed sets to target the whole body. We also have body wraps, gloves, scarves, as well as knee, ankle, and elbow braces. So really we have something for just about every part of the body. And to answer your question about what they help, you know, our biggest thing is increasing mobility and lessening pain, whether that is, you know, stimulating from inflammation. Our products are going to help with that. So if it's arthritis, we also have a lot of people with fibromyalgia, neuropathy, especially recovering chemotherapy patients that use the products, you know, a lot of different things that it's that they're helping target, circulatory disorders in general, Raynaud's syndrome. I mean, there's so many different things. And a lot of those people are on drugs or, you know, are on taking some sort of pharmaceutical and, you know, not getting the benefit that they want. And so our products are, you know, a natural, holistic way to approach, you know, the symptom and help at least the, you know, from a more holistic standpoint. We're never saying obviously to get off of anything else without consulting your doctor, but, you know, it's a way that people can have some extra comfort.
So how often do you use your products? I mean, is your house entirely blue? Is your wardrobe all blue? Is everything blue?
No, actually, sadly, I feel like when you're the owner of a business, you probably get it the least amount of anyone, yeah. It seems. But of course, which you probably know that well.
You know, really, we have to make a conscious decision to take care of ourselves. Otherwise, we're so busy taking care of others, it kind of takes a back burner. That's right.
Exactly. So yeah, that's sort of the drill. Although my bed always has my bed set on it. So I'm always sleeping on it. And for me, I keep it underneath my fitted sheet and I keep the pillowcases as a liner to my actual, you know, regular sheets and pillowcases. So for me, I end up washing it a lot less and it just permanently stays on the bed. So I'm always using that. But you can I also use the socks, and occasionally my knee will flare up with something and carpal tunnel or whatever, and I'll, you know, use the gloves or the knee brace. But you can use the products pretty much as needed. So a lot of people, especially people recovering from knee surgeries or people with severe arthritis, will sleep in the products. And it just makes their mornings a lot easier getting going. We actually recently, and this is a new thing that I had not heard of, but we had a soldier who his mother had actually purchased a pair of gloves because he had been deployed and came back from Afghanistan and had such severe PTSD that he was sleeping with his wrist clamped shut. And he was having terrible pains in his hands and in his wrist that he couldn't seem to, you know, open his hands when he would, you know, be awakened. And she found our products and bought him a pair of gloves. And I didn't obviously know about any of this, but she ended up riding in. And it was just such a touching story because he wakes up and his hands are, you know, fully mobile. And it's, you know, it's not affecting the, you know, the gloves have solved the problem and it's not affecting his mobility in his hands anymore. And so, you know, it's every day we hear about something new that it's treating, but it just goes to show you that it can help so many different people in so many different ways.
What a great story, Kat. And again, a great inspiration. You've overcome a lot of trials in your life and now you're making things happen. But on top of that, you're helping people, which is, it's just amazing. So again, thank you for being on the show today. If people wanted to find out more about your product or order your product, where would you tell them to go?
So it's benefabproducts.com and benefab stands for beneficial fabrics. So I'm going to spell it BENEFAB, products with an S.com. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Dr. Mike.
Yeah. And I'll include a link, in the show notes for your website. And again, thank you for taking your time today and for everything you've done.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Heal Better Fast podcast at www.healbetterfast.com.